Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to Through the Fire. I'm your host, Jamal Sylvester, a.k.a. Mr. Me Too, CEO of Beauty for Ashes, Inc. in Indianapolis, Indiana, where I work as an administrator, motivational speaker, certified youth specialist, and maven for youth. Before we get started, I want to take this time to explain the concept behind the title of the show. I named my show Through the Fire because as we go through our lives, we are all tried and tested by life's obstacles. The problem is that most people don't have the tools to battle the fire that they are going through. My goal is to bring guests on the show that are knowledgeable and have the tools that are needed for people young and old to make it through the fire. In order for you to get to it, you have to be willing to go through it. John Mitchell said, "The finest steel has to go through the hottest fire." Tonight we will give you some tools to help you get through your fire. Tonight I have on the show CEO and founder of Heroes Camp, Inc., Pat Magley. How you doing?
I'm doing real good, son. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I guess I can kind of open this up with, this is a very special show. It's very personal and emotional for me because for my listeners out there, this is my mentor, my spiritual father. This is the guy that helped turn the light on for me to see who it is that God called me to be and what I should be doing. And so I'm very honored and privileged to have him on my show tonight. It's been a long time coming, and I'm so thankful and blessed that he was able to clear his schedule to be able to be on the show tonight. So, Pat, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I just, you know, I'm a former knucklehead and, you know, drug user, drug abuser. Came from the 60s through the 70s, through the 80s, through the 90s, through the transition of the lie called Y2K, because I'm here today in 2017, and been whooping the devil since October the 17th, 1981, until this current day. A lover of the Lord, a lover of my wife, getting ready to be married 43 years, my only child, and her husband have three children. And we've had 100,000 young people come through Heroes Camp over the last 28 years with no charge other than the charge of no stealing and no fighting, but no economic transition for the services that we've rendered to them that include food, clothing, a haircut when we got barbers, and a place to be in a spot that they can call home. And I'm very humbled to be in relationship with you from the time I think maybe you were 17 or 18 to today, to see that your transition is still transitioning and that the thing that took place to you upon illumination is still working. And so as you were talking about equipping young, it's not education. Education will help you in your articulation to your change, but the real equipment is revelation, and it's an unfolding, and it needs to be continual. You know, at 64 years old, I'm just getting ready to get started. You know what I mean? It's unfolding because there's levels, there's stages, and there's dimensions of life. The Bible says, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. And so there's different perspectives and ways of looking at things, and most of those things are individual on the lower levels. But we begin to think corporately and in mass to release people from bondages of fear, generational curses, things that have pulled to them that they don't realize that are spiritual, to help them get free so they can go out and become all that they're meant to be, to bring glory to God and help get other people free, you know what I'm saying, and to remain free,
yes, sir,
from all different types of systems, you know what I'm saying, that don't gender freedom.
Wow. So how did you get started in the work of Heroes Camp, and you know, what brought that about?
I couldn't live one more day the way I was living. Had dropped acid, ate mushrooms, snorted mescaline, smoked THC, smoked opium, smoked Thai stick, smoked hash, smoked reefer, looking for something that was supernatural, but using the wrong door. The Bible says, "Behold, I knock, and if any man open." So when he began to knock, I didn't open because I didn't realize there was a knock coming. But he gave me a vision of myself, and a train was coming down the track, and I was stuck on the track. The conductor to the train was blowing the horn, and he had all the conductor's clothing on, but there was no face with the hat. And when I looked into where the face was, there was just an empty void, and then laughter came out of it. And He said, I'm going to kill you. And I realized that laughter was Satan himself. And then I heard the voice of God say that you've resisted me long enough. I've permitted your foolishness, but now he didn't say he was going to kill me. He said, I'm just taking my hands off your life because you've resisted me long enough. And that's when I got born again, that moment, that day, at 1 o'clock in the morning. No drugs, no dry out clinic, no more pornography, no more alcohol, no more foolishness, no more manipulating people, no more intimidating people, no more of that. And from that day to this day, been fasting, been praying, been learning. The Bible says, learn of him, not learn about him. We got more data on Jesus than we got on Jordan. You know what I'm saying? But we haven't had no change because it had been a personal relationship, you know? And when you go to prayer, when you enter into your closet of change, the first thing you do when you enter into the closet is close the door. Leave that madness out there. Madness will take care of itself. While I'm doing my business with God in my prayer closet, getting revelation, you know, first of all, checking up, you know, taking a checkup with the neck up to see if I got any sin that's displeasing to him.
Right.
If we will humble ourselves as a nation, change would not be so difficult. But everybody wants change, but nobody wants change to start with them. I mean, I'm just talking about my vantage point and what I've been through and what I see, you know,
right,
that we could potentially have as a nation. Yeah.
Now, is there anything significant about your childhood that molded or guided you in the work that you do?
I grew up in a park. My father was an orphan, played farm league for the Cubs, was also a Golden Glove, Joe Louis, dropped out of third grade of education, started working in the third grade, which wasn't that unusual in those days. And my mom's family came over here from Hungary running from Hitler, and they had 13, two died on the flight over here. And so I have this family orientation that is loving and kind, accepting, always enlarging. I had none of my own clothes until I outgrew all of my cousins. I wore what they call hand-me-down, you know. Mm-hmm. And strong family ties and always enlarging my capacity to annex people into our life. It was just a way of life. And then when I went to college, met my wife, and I went through high school. Dr. King got murdered when I was 14, and everybody's sweating, you know, police cars today. But I grew up on paddy wagons and martial law. You know what I'm saying? I came from an era that guys were in the Vietnam War and would get dishonorable discharge and then come back to high school. I learned more in the hallways about how to navigate with stuff that was getting ready to jump off, you know what I mean, then, you know, going to class. And going to class, I didn't really see how much of that was helping me because I see how much it didn't help my teachers deal with the stuff that was going on in the hallway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So if I could just keep it real, and now we wonder why, you know, the dropout rate is so high, why don't we teach stuff that where our humanity is, you know, to walk with one another in peace, to be able to walk with one another. The Bible says, by this what you knew will all men know that you belong to me, is that you have love for one another.
Yeah. It's definitely
I'm looking
lacking.
For that expression. I'm trying to gender that expression, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The Apostle Paul said he poured his life out as a drink offering, you know. And so I'm looking to develop that consciousness, a righteousness consciousness. I've got it, you've got it, many of the guys that have come through the camp have got it, and then to impregnate other people with that, those realities that, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't have to die to go to, I don't have to die to go to heaven. I can die daily and heaven will come.
Amen.
Heaven is another dimension. Kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so heaven is, there's no more sickness, there's no more disease. The lion and the lamb can lay down with one another. There'll be peace, you know? And
yes,
I got a revelation, not just a theory, not a theory, and not just a doctrinal truth, but I got a revelation, which is a functional activity, how to bring these things to pass by being where I ought to be, when I ought to be there, and be off and there, do what I ought to be doing, and wake up again and do it tomorrow and call it a breakthrough. That's my doctrine. discipline. Not be goofing around about this stuff. You get the one, you get to do one or two great things in your life because it takes 25, 30 years to do a great thing.
Whew. That's why I'm glad I got you on the show because I know my listeners are they're eating tonight.
It is so important. We got 10,000 instructors in Christ, but we don't have many fathers. So when I think, what's a lot? You know, what's a lot? So you know, if I'm going to get some sneakers, man, you know, I got 300-400 kids, so 300-400 pairs of sneakers is a lot. Mm-hmm. I got a gift faith. I could call it, and it'll come. Whatsoever things that you say. When you pray, stand believing, and you shall have what you say. Romans 4:17 said, call those things that don't exist as though they do. The things that were made are made by things we don't see. So the spiritual world is the world of creation and recreation. We have problems on our hands now that unless we get into the gender of recreation, and that's the spiritual gender, whether it's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, you know, rich or poor, all of that has passed away, and all the gender of the spiritual world works off your tongue. Life and death are in the power of your mouth, Proverbs 18:21. And so to be able to speak for cities of peace and refuge cities and cities of models where we have racial models and economic models where we are able to help the poor. Sometimes we help the poor and we do no damage because we remind them how poor they are. But the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit. So when you got to, blessed are they that mourn, for they'll be comforted. Cry every day of my life, man. The stuff that's going on now is not right. And so Heroes Camp is my protest against the hordes of hell that are trying to disrupt humanity through insanity. We got more educated fools now than ever. They can explain all of our problems away without having an answer for it. And they're not going to get my mind because they're not going to waste my time. They're wasting most of my time. This is just me. They wasted most of my time in my childhood.
Wow.
You told me about church and didn't tell me about Jesus. And when they're telling me about Jesus, they still, you know, I had questions. That illumination, I got a bright mind. And at 8, 9, 10 years old, I started seeing discrepancies to life. And I needed some answers, but I didn't see anybody that looked like they knew the answer. Fortunately, I started figuring out answers. I figured out why they didn't have the answer. It was too hot. It was too hot. I grew up in a hot era. At LaSalle High School, we had 3 or 4 riots every year for 4 years.
Wow.
I was talking to you the other day, and everybody's amazed at Ferguson, Missouri. I grew up in a country called Ferguson. America is Ferguson. We got complex problems because we're called the greatness. We're called the love. To love the unreachable, love the unlovable. That's why everybody came to this country. We summons for them when we put the Statue of Liberty in the harbor. That's a vision. And I don't like what we're doing now. It's not healthy. I don't think it's healthy. This America thing, it's either going to be good for all or not good at all. And people have given their life for it. People down south have given their life for it. People in our military have given their life for it. I'm not speaking against America. I'm speaking about this theory, this thing that I believe it's in God's mind, the beauty that we can show this one new man. We must repent for the sins of our forefathers. We must repent for the lynchings. We must repent for all the things that have taken place. We can't move forward racially till we go backwards and we undo that with the axe and lay the axe to the root and stop doing these things that we've been doing.
Amen.
It's not wise. Amen. It's not healthy. It's not wise. It's not healthy. I'm listening, Jamal.
Yes, sir. You know, as we talk about this undoing and this going back, let's talk a little bit about recidivism and what that means to you. And it's not always about going back to prison.
When a person come out of the penitentiary, why is he an ex-convict if he paid his fine? When guys miss the mark in Heroes Camp and they go to prison, they come home, I got a bag of gear for them because I know they lost their stuff. They were struggling before they went in. I know they're going to struggle more when they come out. I know the simple things of life, deodorant, some lotion, some basic hygiene and clothing needs. They can get with a woman, but that ain't going to alleviate the problem. Begin to help people get be in recovery. The whole world is in recovery from sin. Let's call it what it is. I'm in recovery from drugs, sin. I'm in recovery from sex, sin. If we don't go and lay the axe to the root of our old human nature that is against God, all of us are guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. My guilt is no longer evident because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That ain't got nothing to do with where I go to church. That's got something to do with me believing the Bible and executing the truth on the head of the enemy, which is Satan. Let's face it, the Bible says that the gate will not prevail. The church will prevail against the gates of hell. The church will prevail against the gates of hell. And so what we've been teaching in Heroes Camp on Saturday morning in our prayer school is how to build an altar. So why, and I'm telling kids that they haven't seen their father in a minute. We got kids that the younger brother outgrew the older brother, and by the next time they went to Jackson State Penitentiary in Jackson, Michigan, that the father thought the oldest brother was the taller brother who was actually the younger brother. And they ain't seen him. They ain't know. How you think they felt? There's so many things that children feel that they've experienced that they can't unsee, they can't unfeel. And education isn't equipped, I'm not sure, knows how to deal with it. And so God raises up a prophetic people, and then nobody really wants to hear with them. And we like, I was reading the thing and said, about Black History Month. You can't have Black History Month. That's to say that you can limit Black history in America when America is Black history. Black people are in America. We can't limit it to one month or one channel or one people. We can't. We got to stop doing this, man, because everybody is – the theory of America is everybody's welcome here, if I understand it right. So our altar is made of your time. Our altar is made of a human deferring to the word of God, seeing the error of your way. It's called repentance. Our altar is made of repentance. Our altar is made of fasting. Our altar is a sacrifice. And there's no fire will come to an altar that doesn't have sacrifice on it. Our desire in Heroes Camp is to help the invisible become visible to people at large so they could get help. And this what I'm talking about, no taxpayers' dollars come to this ministry. We believe the Lord for all the men, and that way we can say the things that need to be said without someone trying to intimidate us and pull their money back. Let their money perish with people. I'm not wired that way. And I believe it's good for all or not at all. And so some of the changes that we're going through now are going to take a little bit longer than our microwave society would like to project. That if you can't put it on 90 seconds and they get done, don't mean it can't get done. Maybe it's just good to leave it in the oven a little bit longer, like Granny and them used to do, and they wouldn't go back and look at it. They could just smell and know it was ready. Because the smell in America knows it ain't ready for change, but it's coming. There's a change that's coming. And I hope my daughter, it's not important that I live to see it. It's important. And there's one thing I know about prayer, Jamal, that every prayer that I pray, I know it's going to come to pass if it was according to the will of God. And whether I see it in my lifetime or not, I'm interracially married, and my wife is out of the state of Georgia. But I am the benefactor of Dr. Martin Luther King's vision and dream. And so he didn't live to see it, but I'm living it.
Right.
And so, I mean, you know, those are things that people can't say. I'm gonna deal in the absolute, and I'm going to deal in the realms of truth, you know, because those is the greatest faculty that we have for towards right living and free living and assisted living. Everybody is in assisted living, starting with me. The Holy Ghost is assisting my life. Draw close to God, he'll draw close to you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and the Bible says, in due time, he'll lift you up. Many that have been last are going to be first. Because when they come to be first, they're going to know what it feels like to be oppressed. They know what it is to be overlooked and undervalued and neglected. And when they get in leadership role, there's a greater compassion because of where the people that have been under underclass have come from. There's a lot of power in what I just said.
Yes,
I cry every day of my life, and I ask God, God help me, God use me, God use this ministry, God use our babies. Or some people can get away from me preaching to them, but they can't get away from me praying for them. And number one person I'm talking about right now is you. You couldn't get away from
right.
me. Oh, you would hit me with the Don Duck ministry. You hit me like Donald Duck, man, you know? Come right when the time of ministry was over, but then later on, sitting in the seat of authority for ministry. So, you know, it don't take long. If you're going to, you know, really want change, fool with it if you ain't got 20 years. Make an investment of your life. Make an investment of your money. Make an investment of your marriage. Make an investment of your tears. Make an investment of your time. Make an investment that you can get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning and go see about somebody else's baby. Well, wait too selfish. I said, Lord, I don't want to be selfish. God, help me. I don't want to be selfish. And a lot of times selfishness is that we're just seeing it the wrong way. Every day I pray, Lord, open my eyes. Ephesians 1:17, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, you know, that your heart can come alive under God. And then God will deal with you and God will show you, man. I know I got a perfect timing anointing. So many people tell me, how'd you know how to say that? How'd you know how to show up? How'd you know how to do this? How'd you, God? He showed me, he led me, that he'd get the glory. And I keep giving him the glory. He said he wouldn't share his glory with another. He's not going to share it with someone who's going to rob him. I think that, you know, as far as recidivism, in our county jail here in South Bend, we have a powerful chaplain, Steve Coyle. And they have Bible studies in there. So to be, I don't know, in some county jails, but in this county jail, it's a good place. Because you get an opportunity to think about your life. You get an opportunity for people to speak into your life. And so often, people don't know what to do with their freedom, and that's when they get in trouble. And many people find the Lord for the first time in the penitentiary or in the county jail or even in some type of juvenile correctional facility. I'm not saying, however you find him, man, find him is what I'm saying. But where are the intercessors going between heaven and hell crying out, you know? The Bible says that Isaiah said that God looked and saw that there was nobody on the wall. There was no intercessor. The Bible says in Isaiah 9 that he was bruised and rejected by men. And the Bible says he's a fit intercessor. We need people that have been through some things to be able to pray and to pray their heart out before God, you know? And Abraham was Moses was one of those guys that God was to destroy them all. And Moses cried out, Abraham, you know, that his nephew was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God was getting there to destroy it. And he cried, he said, man, Lord, don't do that. He said, if there's 100 righteous, he said, but there ain't. He said, if there's 8, if there's 90, he said, but there's not. So we need people to swear to their own hurt and change not, to stay after it. Serving God is like pushing a ball uphill with your nose. You can't push high without coming low. And you got to come repeatedly low in order to push high. We need prophetic people to understand what the issues are, and we're all born into something moving. So we got to go back a little bit in history, you know? We got to know a little bit about black. We got to know how what white white is the relatively new thing. White is the new thing. Because everybody that first came here, there wasn't none of them white. Everybody was Hungarian.
Right.
Everybody was German. Everybody was Czechoslovakian. Everybody was Polish, you know, East German,
yeah.
West German, you know. And then they get here, one generation die off, two generations die off. No one's talking their original dialect. Everybody has lost their holidays and their culture that they came from because it died off and they didn't teach their children. And then pretty soon, everybody's white. Same way with Africans that's in America, you know. But nobody just African-American. And this is who's in Heroes Camp right now. Right now, Jamal.
Right.
South Africa, Senegal, the Congo,
mm-hmm.
Malawi, Rwanda, Nigeria, Kenya. And then, man, Honduras is here from South and Central America. And, man, you know, Mexico, Colombia, they're here from Harlem. They're here from, you know, Compton. How y'all find your way to Heroes Camp? Let me tell you something
right.
about dope, man. Let me tell you something about drugs, man. Ain't no such thing as a drug dealer. We got an appetite for drugs in our country because our country's sick. It's under the
wow.
weight of our own sin.
Wow.
Donald Trump can build another wall on top of the wall. It ain't going to keep no drugs out. We're losing the war on drugs because there's an appetite for drugs. Appetite is creative. If we got an appetite for pleasure and we got an appetite for amusement, man, we're going to have just what we want. We're going to be a fruity nation without the fruit of the Spirit, without love, without joy, without peace, without long-suffering. I don't speak for nobody but me right now. I'm telling you, for the 64 years I've been alive, this is what I'm seeing go on. I'm in the game of life, but I'm also on the sideline watching life unfold and trying to evaluate where our younger children are at. And they're very injured, I think. And so the rate of recidivism is also related to hopelessness
mm-hmm.
and the amount of money that's made by return. We got a PhD in corruption right now in our nation. We don't want to hear these things. We love to celebrate Dr. King after his death. But we didn't like him when he was alive. We didn't like John when he was alive. We didn't like Elijah when he was alive. We didn't like Enoch when he was alive. We didn't love Jesus when he was alive. But truth crushed to the ground is always going to get up again. I believe the things that I'm saying with all my heart, and I live this way every day of my life. And you know I do, and you got to, and I catch hell for it. But at least, man, one day. And the longest part of this life is after you die.
Right. And so
I pray for some of us we pass out shoes, we pass out socks, we pass out underwear and stuff to kids, you know, to show them fathering love. We show them the brotherly love. We show them the Christ-centered love. And then you don't want to come back? I'm cool with it, man. I'm good.
Right.
You don't owe me. There's a kid that just came up here from Memphis. Father died in the military. He's 22 years old. He, you know, kicked out of school for attitude and fighting. He from Memphis, him and his girl, man. It's first winter
wow.
up here. Man, it's cold. Memphis, 40 cold in Memphis. He up here without
right.
a winter coat. I do what I do. I do what I do. I do what I do, and it gets done because he gave me a revelation how to approach people. Jesus is the Savior of the world, man. God gave it to Abraham, because Abraham would teach it to his children and to his children's children. We must show them love. We must teach them love. We must exhibit patience so they can see the value of patience. And once again, if you got 10 years of being patient within somebody, you're about to have a student. But we're in too much of a hurry, and 40% of the world is 14 and under. Everybody's in a hurry to get an orgasm, and ain't nobody in a hurry to be irresponsible. And it's creating havoc, man, on the human race. The Bible sounded the alarm. The Bible says, set the trumpet in the mouth. We need to give an account. God asked Adam, after he sinned in the garden, Adam, where are you? which really was to say, out of where are we?
Right.
And I got to give an account for every deed done in my body and every word to come out of my mouth. And as long as we could think it's a Republican or Democrat or black or white or poor or rich, or if the enemy is not the devil and the enemy is not sin, we'll never win. Focus on those things. And when we focus on the devil and we focus on sin, let me focus on the devil that might be trying to influence me first and the sin that would be in my life that I need to repent of before I go downstream and try to make any type of change. Let it start with me. Let me become the change agent. Prophetic people are change agents. So I go back to Bishop Tudor Bismarck's word about your life.
Mm-hmm.
That you got enough skill set to double dutch. That's a skill jump roper. And juggle at the same time. So you work on day and then you get through with that, then you got a little bit more go left, and so now you come get on the radio. I want longevity with my life. Life is not a sprint, life's a journey. And we should be richer year after year after year in wisdom, in understanding, in revelation, skills that college doesn't give you. And if you got it from college, it wasn't from college. It was a relationship that you might have had with a professor or a friend that was able to unlock you. So many people are locked up that aren't behind bars. And they're fearful, and they don't measure up. They don't feel that anything that they're carrying, you know. But, man, I'm just a grease monkey. Well, what if you're driving a Mercedes, man, and you're a millionaire? And you don't know nothing about your car. Grease monkey might be the cat that you need, man. If your car stopped, you might need a grease monkey to stop and buy your car and help you, especially if you're in the wrong neighborhood. We don't think like that, but it happens every day. We are not ready for life. If we were ready for life, we would be in the prayer closet more that gives life. And Jesus was the dominator. And that's the original call of Adam. To go forth, subdue the earth, multiply, and have dominion. Not dominate one another, but dominate inside out. Dominate inside out. I'm listening to your remarks. I'm opening the
question. Yes, sir. Well, so I know, you know, because I grew up in the camp, and I'm a product of the camp. Let's talk about the father-son ministry and the mission statement of developing the spirit, soul, and body for the young men that come through those doors.
When I met you, I didn't know who you were, but I had heard about you. And I think I might have been at King Center, and you had a really nice game, sweet, deft, talented, crazy bounce. But I noticed that you were hurting and that you were feeling too good about playing real good. And I only noticed that if that was like that, because there was rejection there, and that when you don't feel so good about not playing so good, then it's real confusing. And I had gone through that myself, and we arrived at very similar conclusions, but through different mechanisms, you know. Me coming out of white, still white, but if you ain't white and then some, then you're not very skilled at relating to society in America at large. You know, people that are white and then some are intentional at becoming then some. Most people that are black and then some without the intentionality that white people would have to have, because they live in America, especially in my era, where it was much more dominant white. You know what I'm saying? And so white was a way that black people knew how to deal with much more than black was the way that white people had to deal with, you know? And now things are shifting, and you can look at sports, you can look at movies, you can look at who's giving direction to America, you know? And hopefully the people that give direction to America will not give the same direction that was given before, because this is still, I'm telling you, it's going to be either good for all or not at all. Well, we don't need a new direction. That's just a re-emphasis of an old direction just by a different people group. We need people that can come and know what the issues are and be able to pray it through to establish it as a national credential and then for the intercessors to hear it and pray it through. That's going to take a lot of humility and a lot of brokenness as a nation. But the problem is the rest of the nations are looking at our nation for direction. So it's worth doing. It's definitely worth doing.
Well, I want to personally, openly say thank you for your unwavering commitment to serving and changing young men's lives like myself, to be and do that God called, to be and do all that God called us to do. None of your sacrifice of time, love, tears, money, or your family has gone in vain. You got soldiers at home and you got soldiers abroad that are out here doing the will of God and doing what you taught us to do as far as giving back and being a gap filler. And I want to openly, you know, say thank you, because I know for a fact, I know that I had some great people come into my life that helped shape and mold me, but it was you who helped turn that light on and kind of helped me get on that path to see who I could be, who God wanted me to be, and I thank you for allowing me to find myself in your ministry and help be a part of that birthing and that growing to have Heroes Camp where it is today. I'm so proud and I'm so honored to have you in my life still to this day.
The tears that I married you and your beautiful wife and the background of your parents and that you're doing what you're doing and that your wife is doing what she's doing makes every tear, every intestinal pain that intercessors go through on behalf of those that they're praying for. And I'm grateful that you have not wasted my time, and you have not wasted my emotion. You have not wasted my tears. And those that sow in tears reap in joy, doubtlessly bringing in the sheaves. That's plural. That's multiplication. So what I've done in your life and the concentric circles that reach out of my life through your life, it's a whole lot of power in exponents, much more than just multiplication. Exponentially in every single direction. And I give all the honor to God, and I give all the honor for my wife to let me run my heart out for the Lord. Then my brother cried and said, you know, God, you know him and what a knucklehead he is, but if you'll take that energy and reveal yourself to him, I'll pray him through until that day. And so the places that you and I and dozens of other young people have had their hands into shaping people's thought life and softening it and to consider another aspect or to incorporate a perspective. And the Bible says that everything that's born from above will overcome the lower things. And we got to get to a higher consciousness about how God loves humanity. And, you know, Charles Manson just died a few weeks ago, and what he did was horrific. God didn't like what he did, but he still loved him. I don't know how that works because I'm not perfect, but the Bible said perfect love casts out all fear. And so those things that belong to God, how children are miscarried and how young people get hit by a stray bullet or hit by a car or someone die in war. The deep things belong to God. I do stay in my lane. What's accessed to me through revelation that comes through fasting and praying and praying overnight, praying from midnight to 3, 3 to 6, praying midnight to 6, midnight to 7, 3 to 7, 3 to 9 in the morning. There's something special when you commit to a process and make a covenant with God and to make a vow with God. Then he'll become your God, and then you'll become his people. And that's how I've been able to just touch tens of thousands of lives with basically just a minuscule staff, but a big heart and a big, big God. And those things are so, I want to live a life that counts. I want to live a life that in my absence, there'll be a void, but not a void of wisdom that was left. Just a void of my person, just being there overlooking, just doing what I do, you know? And
yes, sir,
it wouldn't be that big a void because of you, my son-in-law, and hundreds of sons that we have that are standing in a void now, and they're presiding the way I presided to count. And that right there, it's a mouthful to say, and I know that people that may be listening over the radio will be hard to see, but they ask Jesus, the way you live, he said, come see. It showed them how he lived, and it showed them not just geographically, but dimensionally,
right,
geographically. He lived on a higher plane, and he didn't come that way. He didn't come on autopilot. He didn't come on autopilot. They called him out his name. He had an opportunity to get mad. He had an opportunity to be in lust. He had an opportunity to be in greed. He had access to everything, but he disciplined himself. He said, I don't do my will, but I came to do the will of the Father. I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. So that's what takes place at prayer. Man, I didn't know how to deal with you, man. You were hurting. Father in the penitentiary. Mom had given you up. You know what I'm saying? All those relationships are good now. They're healed now, not because of me, but because of our prayers to our God.
Amen.
And that's, you know, and then your son, his brilliance. I see your sisters, you know. I'm like, man, my life is so much, man. I mean, I just sit back sometimes and just cry. I says, I can't believe that he would use a knucklehead. I mean, he just used me. And that's my message to everybody out there. If you just want to be used to God, just go to him. And I've
right.
always have gone to church. I've always belonged to a church. I've always been an integral part of that church. But still, church is not the way. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. You know what I'm saying? He's the way. The expression sometimes of how we carry out our Christianity is when we meet up on Sunday to recommit our lives to Christ, you know? But, I mean, it's every day, all day long with me. I've learned to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And every time I talk strong, please believe me, I know where I came from. I know this ain't me. It looks like me, but it ain't me. It's him in me, you know?
Yes,
I got
sir.
My shoes on. He got his feet in my shoes. He's walking out his life through my life. I'm listening, son.
Hmm. Yes, sir. Man, well, I knew it was gonna be a good one. And I know you don't usually do this, but I want to take this time to provide you with some time to tell our listeners how they can find out more information or donate to Heroes Camp. And so you got the floor to tell them, you know, how to contact you or contact TJ if they want to give.
Yeah,
or they
you
want
can
to find
just
out
go on the internet website, heroescamp.com, and there's a PayPal on there. I'm so much removed from the money part of it other than pray it in that people come and want to know about donating. And, I mean, that's the extent that I know because I'm not called to raise money. I'm called to raise consciousness. I'm called to raise the name. He said, if I be lifted up, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto himself. And so that you can do. You can go to heroescamp.com, and there's a mega relaunch video on there after we had a tornado and how God came. When your life seems to be destroyed and about dead, let it die all the way, and then pray. and watch the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ come into your fight. When you invite God to come into your fight, and don't deviate to the left or to the right, but be patient, be still, and know that he's God, he will come. And he'll more than blow your mind. He'll blow everybody's mind around you. The people that you thought were your friends will become your enemies. And then later on, the jealousy and the envy, God will soften them, and even your enemies will start to sing your praise. And I'm coming into that season in my life after 28 years of ministry. We have really never been so much as recognized by the city of South Bend, nor have we been acknowledged as far as someone from here that has any type of thing to sustain us. And it's been faith and a few private donors that have kept us going these last 28 years. And sometimes it's been from hand to mouth, but it's been God's hand and my mouth, and I'm cool with that. The Bible said the just shall live by faith. I'm cool with that. I'm real cool with that. I'm real cool with that. Because he never sleeps and never slumbers. He knows, the Bible says, before you call, he'll send the answer. That's cold-blooded.
Right.
You can't learn that in college. You can only learn that through the crucible of living. You know.
Wow.
You know.
Yes, sir.
You know.
I do.
You know. You've seen it, and you operate in that yourself.
Amen.
How many times you've been at wit's end? How many times you've been where it looks like curtains? How many times you've been at wit's end and you didn't know what to do, and we went to prayer. I picked your behind up at 10 minutes to 3 in the morning. We prayed from 3 to 6 or 3 to 7, and then you didn't know what happened, but something changed. That's the true X factor of life. The Holy Ghost is God's agency to lead and guide us into all truth. I stay in my square, and then he makes my square bigger. I'm so humbled that you are made and that your son is under your roof, and there has been times where it's a rocky road.
Right.
But the last time I seen you in the county jail, I don't know, you were more about 22 or 23.
Right.
And so that's been a long season ago. And when you look back in that rearview mirror, it's long ago because of your development. The Bible said, let patience have its perfect work. And you put that foolishness away after you realized it was foolishness and that you could do better. And you could do better because someone showed you the better you could do.
Thank you.
Everybody's looking for direction. They want to look at this conference, and they want to look in that conference and look from this party or that persuasion. But very few have been instructed to go into their prayer closet and ask the Holy Ghost to lead and guide them, to comfort us. We need comfort in our nation. Our children are in bad state. And they're not in bad state because they're bad kids. They've been in bad state because they've been left on the operating table when they were born. A lot of them just to rear their own self. And they haven't had nobody show them how certain things work. And if we'll take the time and go back and get them, we got potentially the greatest leadership out of the rooms, out of the ashes. The Bible says that he'll give us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. I've never seen so many beautiful young people that just don't know because nobody ever showed them. Just show them at church, but take their hand and walk them through life. You broke your kneecap. I picked you up at the hospital, took you home, and you were sleeping on a mattress, you and your woman, that wasn't no more than 2 inches thick, with a broke knee and a cast on it. I had an extra bed. I could not live. The Bible says, if you shut up your bowels of compassion, what part is the love of God in you? I told you, after I picked you up in that gray van, you get in there, I told you and your woman, I'll bring you a bed and I'll be right back. And I went back to Johnson Point, I got that bed out that loft, and you're paying, and you're not paying me for that. But you're paying kids that you're coming into contact with on the daily. Because that's part of your foundation. And it's a springboard, you know. That someone took time for you, so you saw the pattern how it takes time for others. And nobody gets in the winner's circle on their own. If they do, they're a liar and they're a thief. And the love of God is not on the inside. Ain't nobody pulled themselves up by their bootstraps. Their arms are too short. And these straps ain't long enough if they come from where you came from.
Right.
Don't nobody want to hear that, man. Don't nobody want to hear that. It's by grace that we're saved, and that through faith. That the excellency is not of man. The excellency is of God, not of man, lest any man could boast. I'm glad I know the Word of God. I study the Word of God to keep people and spirits up off me. And we're supposed to know the truth in love. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:19, and that's our hallmark scripture, you know, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. You're part of that standard, Sean, Cedric, Monty, the list, Herman, the list, and all the kids that are here now, you know. They're a generation, a light, chain breakers. The one person that gets free, they're sojourner troops of the Spirit.
Whew-wee.
If you don't know where the promised land is, you know, if you don't, the promised land is freedom. The promised land is internal. Being good with yourself, being good with your neighbor. My neighbor don't like me. My neighbor might be oppressing me. Not the person that lives next door. The person that you're just got to be around on the daily. But when you can pray for that person, you're in your promised land. When you can pray for that person whom the Son sets free, it's free indeed. It's easy to love those that love you. Even the publicans do. That is what the Bible says.
Well, man, I want to say thank you. Once again, for being on the show. Once again, listeners, this is my spiritual father, my mentor. I didn't know what it was, and I met him, and he showed me what it was, and I followed the pattern, and I began to walk in what God called me to do. I also want to give a big shout-out to my sponsors, Duty for Ashes, Inc., the Tribe Family Channel, and to my mentor, Bruce George, co-founder of Death Poetry Jam and founder and creator of Genius is Common. Please visit www.geniusiscommon.com and express your genius. If you want to reach me, I can be reached at risethroughthefire@gmail.com, risethruthefire@gmail.com, or on LinkedIn at Jamal Sylvester. Thanks again for tuning in to the show. My next show will be December 28th. Same time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the same Tribe Family Channel. God bless and good night. Thank you again, Dad. Love you.
Oh, I love you too, Molly Martin. The Lord bless you, man. I'm so grateful for it. Hello?
Yes, sir.
I'm just grateful that DJ lets me be me, man.
Yes, sir.
PJ lets me be me. Kelly lets me be me. PJ lets me be me. And the Lord lets me run my heart out for him. And for that, I am free and I'm grateful, even though it's taxing. Yeah, send me that link when you can, man, or whatever it's called, man.
Yes, sir.
All righty?
Yes, sir. I love you.
I love you too, man. I'll holler at you, man. Everything okay. Good?
Yes, sir.
Good show?
Yes, sir.
Okay, man, I'm out.
Peace.
I look in your eyes and I can see the blood for days. But I believe that we've all